Mr. Speaker, Madam President, colleagues, our honored leaders of the tribal nations, my fellow Kansans, it is an honor to be here with you today, standing before you as governor. And please let me begin by formally introducing the new First Lady, my bride, the love of my life, Ruth Collier. So last Wednesday, we began our day at 5:30 a.m., and we visited our family farm, went to Mass, and then visited a school for kids with special needs. Then we came to the Capitol for the formal inauguration and the receptions. Ruth and I finally pulled up to our garage at home a little bit after 10 o'clock. And Ruth looked at me with those big, beautiful brown eyes, and she said, "Be sure to bring the trash can in, Governor." As you can see, the humor in the Collier household is all with the women in our house. But Ruth and our daughters, Dominique and Serena, they were by my side, and I got to share my vision for a Kansas that called for each of us to serve our neighbors, to serve others. And as someone who has sat in these chairs, in these desks, as a representative and as a senator, actually, up there, two seats in, on the second row from the back, I know how important that service is for each of you. You leave your family for months at a time. You work nights, you work weekends, you miss basketball games and grandkids' birthdays just to be here working for our constituents. And let's be honest, I know you don't do it for the money. On our very best days, of which there are many best days, it is about serving Kansans and not about ourselves. I want to say thank you for your service. Now, we don't talk a lot about service in the state of Kansas, but service is central to the Kansas character. Serving our neighbors is what connects us as human beings, and that connection can be passed on from generation to generation, just as it was for Seaman High School senior Natalie Ford. As a junior last year, Natalie was the recipient of my Lieutenant Governor's Service Award for the work that she did at the I Care Food Bank in Southeast Topeka. Natalie wanted to make a difference in the lives of real people. Rather than just talking about it or posting about it on Facebook, Natalie decided to act. So at an early age, she started spending her mornings during summer vacation volunteering at I Care. She was helping less fortunate Kansans make healthy food choices and to bring food home to their families. She would take the recipients through the store and then load their groceries in the car. But what makes an eighth grader voluntarily get out of bed in the middle of summer? What makes him do that? Well, for Natalie, it was the example of her grandmother, Scarlett Ford, whom Natalie describes as a mentor, as an example of someone who gives back to those around her, even when nobody's looking. Service passed down from generation to generation is a special Kansas legacy that we can give our children. Natalie and her grandma Scarlett are both here today in the audience. Let's have them stand and be recognized. Thank you, Natalie. Now, as I told you before, I keep surgeon's hours rather than a politician's hours. and it's been a busy but productive few days. On my first full day as governor, I began meeting with the Republican and Democratic leadership. Some hadn't been in the governor's office in years, similar to my own experience as a legislator. But we spoke about working together, solving problems, and changing the tone. I want to say thank you, and I hope to meet with each and every one of you in the coming weeks and months in my office. On day two as governor, I visited several great Kansas communities like El Dorado, Pittsburgh, and Independence. Many Kansans shared with me their willingness to work for a new day in Kansas, and I was truly humbled. On that day, I announced major staff changes that I've been quietly implementing over the last few months. I have a new policy team, a new communications team, and a new management team. There are six major changes to the cabinet. We will have a new secretary at KDHE, the secretary for the Department of Children and Families, the chief information technology, the secretary of commerce, the chief budget officer, and the lieutenant governor will all be new. We will manage Kansas more like a business, and I am restructuring the executive office to include a chief operating officer to manage and respond more effectively and professionally, more like a major corporation. On Saturday, Kansans from Salina to Garden City to Emporia shared their ideas. And the best advice came from Carolyn in Salina. Carolyn said, "There's a reason your car has a small rear view mirror and a large windshield. Let's go forward. Remember that." So there are some who say that Kansas is in an unwinnable situation. Yes, it's tough. We all know that. It's always been that way. But these are the times we relish. When I worked for President Reagan, even in the darkest hours of the Soviet Union and stagflation, he kept a plaque on his desk that said, "It can be done." These are the times. These are the times that set history for the next century. And I believe, and I know you do too, that our best days are ahead of us. But let's be very clear. We have some significant challenges to overcome. As a surgeon, I'm going to deal with problems head on, without rancor, and always with compassion. But there are some things that we need to change, and we need to do it right here, right now. I like to think of these in three big categories: reform, jobs, and education. So let's begin with reform. First of all, I expect a safe and a professional workplace free from sexual harassment. Thank you. Thank you. To anyone here that has experienced these evils, I want you to know that you've been heard. You have value, and you have all of our respect. I want to thank the Women's Foundation. I want to thank legislative leaders. I want to thank my fellow Kansans who insist that we have a professional workplace. My commitment to you is that harassment, in any form, at any time, in any place, will not be tolerated in my administration. So Monday, I signed my first executive order, which first requires all cabinet agencies to update their sexual harassment prevention policies. Every employee, every intern, every contractor shall receive the material. Second, it requires every state employee, every manager, even every intern to undergo sexual harassment prevention training. And this will happen annually. Third, allegations of sexual harassment will be investigated promptly, and appropriate disciplinary action shall be taken swiftly. I also want to thank Senate President Susan Weigel. I want to thank her for her leadership on establishing a culture of respect and responsibility in this building, the People's House. You have done a lot. So the Kansas Constitution says all political power is inherent in the people of Kansas. Kansas government must be more transparent. And in my travels around the state, I've talked to many Kansans who express their desire for more sunlight on government dealings. I applaud the actions taken by Speaker Reichman, by Majority Leader Don Heineman, and others to make the legislative process more transparent. Already, we've seen moves to end anonymous bills and to broadcast live and archive all committee proceedings. I also support Senator Weigel's proposal to require lobbyist registration for those attempting to influence executive officials. I believe transparency required of the legislature should also be required for the executive branch. And a group of legislators led by Senate Minority Leader Anthony Hensley and House Minority Leader Jim Ward have put forth their own transparency proposals. Many of you are working hard on this issue, and your efforts deserve recognition and support. Thank you. So now it's time for the executive branch to do its part. Tomorrow, I will sign 4 executive orders that make important steps to make Kansas government more transparent. First, we will no longer charge Kansans for open records requests of less than 100 pages. Second, we will institute policies to ensure the administration relies on official email accounts to conduct official business. Third, thank you for the applause. Third, I will implement performance metrics for cabinet agencies so Kansans can see how we perform. And fourth, we are launching a website to serve as a one-stop shop for cabinet agencies to post open meetings, locations, and materials online for all to see. Transparency is key to better accountability, and accountability is the key to real results. Let's make this happen. Now, Kansas was founded on the ideal that all people have value. Everyone has a God-given right to life and liberty. And as a doctor, I've seen newborn babies whom no one gave a chance thrive. I've seen mothers frightened by a scary ultrasound only to rejoice at their child's wedding 20 years later. When Kansas first entered the Union, 2 of our first laws emphasized basic human dignity. As a free state, Kansas prohibited slavery. And the same founders, whose names appear on these walls, they passed laws prohibiting abortion. That same constitution that prohibited slavery did not mention a right to an abortion. And yet a Kansas court issued a ruling which argues that the framers of the Kansas Constitution imagined abortion as a separate constitutional state right. This is violence against the very basic facts, and this cannot stand. We are a pro-life state. And on the issue of life, the stakes are so high. The issue is so foundational. The people of Kansas must have the final say. Next, let's talk about jobs. Job growth and enhancing the quality of life for all Kansans should be our highest priority. So here's my vision for Kansas. Over the next few years, I want us to work together, steadily and professionally, to build a Kansas to be a vibrant, growing state. In short, I want to see our children have their best future right here in Kansas. I want my adventurous daughters to see their dreams serving others to come true right here in Kansas. And there's some good news to report here. According to the most recent data, the Kansas unemployment rate is 3.4%. That's one of the lowest in the country and the lowest our state has seen in more than 17 years. But I also know, if you travel around our state listening to people and hearing their stories, it's impossible to miss the real-world struggles still faced by many Kansas families. A rising tide lifts all boats, but too many of our people seem stranded on dry land. An expanding economy with opportunities for higher income and rising standards of living only works if our citizens have the right tools to make the most of their lives. Did you know that right now in Kansas, more than 48,000 unfilled jobs are in our state today? Many of these have high wages and great opportunities for advancement. All over the state, especially in small towns, employers tell me they would hire more workers if they could find them. Truly, we have jobs looking for people. More and better jobs for Kansans is important to me personally. And on my second full day as governor, I was visiting Pittsburgh. And as we all know, Southeast Kansas continues to struggle. And without prior warning, I dropped in. And I stopped in to visit the Kansas Works office. And they help people looking for work. John Pettis and his team of professionals work very hard and they care about their Kansans. They provide personalized job search assistance and they are very dedicated and they are helping Kansans find good jobs when they need it. So to address this issue further though, my administration will be launching a program called My Reemployment Plan. My Reemployment Plan will provide free of charge a skills assessment, resume building, interview and networking assistance, and labor market information to highlight current in-demand jobs for Kansans that need them. This program is designed to help our friends and our neighbors get back to earning paychecks and working good jobs. Other Kansans have the talent and drive, but not necessarily the immediate technical skills to find a good paying job. The budget proposal before you includes significant investments in career and technical education. It will give Kansas high school students the opportunity to learn technical skills before they've even received a high school diploma. Older students can also learn skills needed to compete for those high in-demand jobs. We will increase in our apprentice program and we're going to support the jobs of the future. These modest but effective investments will pay long-term dividends, particularly in rural Kansas. Now, here's the troubling fact that we all must face. It's a challenge. Several other states are trying to steal our title, air capital of the world. And so today, we're going to say to them with one voice, not on our watch. We won't let it happen. I've been working with our state's largest private employer, Spirit AeroSystems, and in December, they announced plans to invest more than $1 billion and hire more than 1,000 Kansans. It means 4,000 more jobs across our state. That's a $1 million investment for every job. These are great paying, high-tech jobs that will stay with us for generations. And in talking with Spirit and our other aviation leaders, we've come to learn the real challenge is filling these positions with qualified workers. These are great jobs. They will provide great life and great opportunities for many families. And so our budget also helps Wichita maintain its title of Air Capital of the World, because we're going to have additional investments in the National Institute for Aviation Research and the National Center for Aviation Training. I support these investments, and I hope you'll join me in advocating for them as you work through the budget process. Speaking of investments, when I was sitting in these seats 10 years ago, I voted to support the T-Works program. While that transportation plan was not fully accomplished, we can do better. We must end the highway funding sweeps and build an effective plan that promotes economic development and strengthens our transportation network. But let's talk about another issue that is washing across America. Many businesses say they have problems finding workers who can pass a drug test. This is a big reason why so many Kansans aren't benefiting from a growing economy. This scourge does not respect ethnicity, age, rich or poor, parent or child, or county. Hundreds of our Kansas neighbors have died. And believe it or not, the average life expectancy of the United States decreased the last 2 years. And many experts cite the opioid and meth epidemics as a primary cause. I've even seen this firsthand with my own patients. This legislature, you have taken some important steps, but we need a comprehensive approach. And the good news is, we have one of the top national experts leading our efforts. And you know him well, Dr. Greg Lakin, physician, lawyer, addiction specialist, and a former legislator. He will head a task force to work with you to implement short and long-term solutions. And Dr. Lakin is not the only legislator I've turned to for their expertise. I'm also asking Chief Budget Officer Larry Campbell to fully engage a zero-based performance budgeting process. There are new technologies that offer new affordable solutions for the citizens of Kansas. Together, we can make long-term improvements to our budget profile. So please join me in thanking Dr. Lakin and Larry Campbell for their service in the legislature and their continued contributions to Kansas in their new roles. We take seriously our responsibility to care for Kansas children in crisis. The legislature, led by Healthcare Chair Vicki Schmidt, and others, they've been working energetically along with Secretary Meyerhummel and other key stakeholders to reform this system. And I want to take a moment to thank you, thank each of you personally, because you've been willing to work on this very important issue. One need only pick up a newspaper to see the examples of the extreme evil that exists in this world. Just a few weeks ago, We read of parents in California that held their children captive for years, starving and chaining them to their beds. And in Kansas, we've had our own tragedies, too terrible to recount here. And unfortunately, government will never be capable of preventing all of these evils. But we can, and we must, and we will do better. Secretary Meyer-Hummel and I stood together to announce several important proposals to give children and families around the state the help they need. The Secretary is working with outside experts on a top-to-bottom review of our state's child welfare system. We need funding to achieve the following goals, and it's in the budget proposal. Hire additional child welfare field staff. Establish emergency placement options so there are no more kids sleeping in offices. We need to hire additional investigative staff to track down missing foster care children. And we're going to invest in new community-based family preservation and family strengthening programs. I know for a fact that each and every person in this body cares deeply about the plight of abused children in our state. Please join me as we fight together for the most vulnerable children in our state. Another area we must address is supporting those in our communities with mental illness. In the past 3 weeks, I have visited 4 community mental health centers across the state. We are in the process of rebuilding that system. The Legislative Mental Health Task Force provides some excellent recommendations to build the best mental health care system in the country. And I suggest to you, one of the models for our work on mental health reform is the RSI facility in Wyandotte County. That collaboration was led by my friends, Majority Leader Jim Denning, Representative Kathy Wolf Moore, and I want to thank each of you for this important work. Can we say thank you to our colleagues? Bringing together local law enforcement, mental health centers, and health providers, we've created a place that provides superior service for those with mental illness. It saves state and local resources for others who truly need it. My administration will begin work on several of these suggestions immediately. And we stand ready to work with you to ensure that those in our communities with mental illness receive top-notch care with the dignity and respect every Kansan deserves. As a surgeon and a governor, I insist on regularly evaluating progress and continuous improvement, which brings us to the topic of CanCare. I welcome and appreciate the legislative involvement in the future of this vital program. This is critical, and Chairman Hawkins and others have been particularly helpful as we look to improve the program. So here are my priorities for CanCare moving forward. First, improve outcomes for those we serve. Second, bend the cost curve down. 3, fix the eligibility system. And 4, we must draw down additional Medicaid funding to treat substance abuse and mental illness. And finally, we need to support additional work opportunities for able-bodied adults, which encourages better health outcomes. Our new secretary at KDHE, Jeff Anderson, along with our new Medicaid director and chief medical officer, bring great experience and expertise to our team. These positions will be critical to tackling the Medicaid eligibility backlog issue and resolving problems for the benefit of clients and providers alike. Thank you. I want to work with you to make sure this crucial program continues to improve for the betterment of Kansans, of the more than 400,000 Kansans we serve. Now, finally, and perhaps the most pressing question in many of your minds is, where will we go in education? But before we get to the elephant in the room, let me first thank you for the remarkable investments that you have made in early childhood education. Early childhood education works. On my first day as governor, I had the opportunity to visit a public school in my hometown of Hayes. And I want teachers and educators in this state to know that your governor is a supporter of public education. In Kansas, we invest in our schools not because a court tells us to, but because we want to invest in our children and our future. We invest in teachers because they invest in our kids. We support things like the Kansans Can redesign program because we're willing to do hard things for the kids of our state, for the future of our state. And now, I want you to think about something. Governor Bob Dockey, Governor Robert Bennett, Governor John Carlin, Governor Mike Hayden, Governor Joan Finney, Governor Bill Graves, Governor Kathleen Sebelius, Governor Mark Parkinson, Governor Sam Brownback, and Governor Jeff Collier, the last 10 governors of Kansas. 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, 50 years and counting. That's longer than the Cold War. All 10 governors have had the specter of education lawsuits overshadowing education. This must end now. To some in politics, leadership is about being a bully or being the loudest, shrillest voice in the room. To others, staking out a position, they don't ever want to compromise. They're never going to compromise. To me, leadership is about setting a vision and bringing people together to achieve common goals. And we're going to rely on principles. And as a former legislator, I know that you don't appreciate being told what to do by a governor or anyone else for that matter. And I think the reaction to the recent State of the State address is plenty evidence of that. What I learned from President Reagan is that we develop principles that allow us to resolve our issues. And as the sign on his desk, and now mine, says, it can be done. And with that in mind, I will offer a framework that I hope you can see fit to support to solve the issue. First, we must keep our schools open. Second, we need a definitive solution that ends the school finance lawsuits for good. 3, increased investments in K-12 education must come through a phased-in approach that doesn't increase the tax burden on Kansas families and ensures schools can effectively allocate any new funds they receive. And lastly, and most importantly, we must insist on accountability and improved outcomes. I will sign school finance legislation that meets these objectives. This will not be easy, but public servants and leaders are not called to make easy choices. We're here to do the right thing, and the right thing is never easy. So as I close today, I want you to know that I want to be the most approachable governor in Kansas history. Please know that I see you as a partner, and I'm excited to listen to your ideas about moving our state forward. Now, I began this speech by thanking you for your service to our state and to our constituents. And I would like to end this speech with the same challenge that closed my inaugural address. I challenge you to give yourself to your fellow man. I challenge you to put our long-term interests ahead of short-term political gain. I challenge all of us to come together, to work together, to show the world that Kansas is the true heart of America. Thank you. May God bless you. And may God continue to bless the great state of Kansas.